This could also be our theme song.
See, I now know how to splice clips of songs into our conversations. Okay. We're like 3/4 of the way there.
You're like a radio DJ.
I just threw tequila in the middle of a conversation. I'm a fucking, like, mainstream radio DJ. I'm not even a good radio DJ.
She's, like, got fart sounds on, you know, standby.
Yep, MP3s, no less.
No, I'm like a one-hit wonder.
Noise bucket.
Noise bucket.
Okay, so Mark, Gravity's Rainbow equals copious beer drinking?
Somewhat, yes. I had 2 beers, which is pretty copious for me these days.
Told you, he'd have 2 beers and pass out. Was I right?
I didn't pass out, I was reading.
How many deep are you in, Beth?
I have lost count.
I'm so glad the woman who's going to be doing the technical editing of this podcast is lost count of her beers.
That's awesome.
I snuck that.
I hit the record button. That. What else do you want? That's all I gotta do.
Are we recording now?
Yeah.
Do you have that recording of us singing Nico K songs?
Oh, yes, we do.
That's going to be in the outtakes when we're really famous and we're like, and we have our own panel at South by Southwest.
That's going to be awesome. This is how we get to meet Nico K, is by our interpretive singing of her songs. Yes. And Mark, she's going to say, I don't want to meet that guy because he wasn't on there. He didn't sing along. We're going to be like, I know, Nico. Nobody knows you like I do.
No one knows you. I feel your pain, Nico.
I want to be there for you.
Okay. Seriously. We've been like recording for like apparently almost 9 minutes now.
All right.
Perhaps it's time to start the podcast.
Welcome to Noise Bucket. This is a podcast all about music between 2-3 old college friends from Columbia, Missouri. My name is Mark.
She's Kim, with the best laugh ever in the history of time.
Thank you, Beth. That's so sweet. And she's Beth. And Beth is hipper than me and Mark put together, and we're probably going to have bitter diatribes about that at some point.
Exactly.
I'm hip.
You're the hip mama of the show.
That's right.
You're the MILF of the show.
There,
MILF. I can now die.
She's the MILF. Outside my door. Okay, so
we have all the elements of a perfect podcast. We have someone with a good laugh. We have a dude with a deep voice and a MILF. What more do you need? Right? Am I right?
Exactly. And we're starting on a new little enterprise. We're going to try to do a podcast at least once a month, if not more frequently, regarding the things that we love most about music. One of the things that we shared a great deal in college was our love for music and discovering new bands and doing more with music, going out to lots of shows, cultivating a love for all things independent, but also broadening all our horizons.
Drugs.
Drugs. Good beer.
Gin bucket.
Gin bucket. Ah, and now we've come to the heart of it. One of the biggest things that we bonded over was a classic, somewhat improvised, but nearly perfect concoction, alcoholic concoction, that was called Gin Bucket. We often had many house parties, or apartment parties, I should say, where we all sat around and enjoyed the Gin Bucket. It was a sugary concoction with gin and Sprite, equal parts lemons and limes, and confectioner's sugar.
And vanilla.
And vanilla, which was a secret ingredient. But now we so many nights were had. I know I myself have picked myself up from the floor of Beth and Kim's apartment many a night after indulging a bit of Gin Bucket. And I'm sure they have some stories in that regard as well.
Those were the days.
Oh, yes. We of the nostalgic folk. One of the things that we want to focus on is not focusing on any particular genre. However, if you're looking for information or opinion or discovering new bands in contemporary country or contemporary Christian music, you're going to have to find another outlet for that. We're going to steer clear of those genres altogether.
We'll also be steering clear of soft jazz.
Yes.
Easy listening, Yanni.
John Perth Pizzarelli Trio. Come on, guys.
Adult contemporary in general. Very good point. I'm stifled.
The word contemporary comes anywhere in your favorite genre of music. We're probably not the podcast for you.
I agree.
But if you had a healthy love for Nico Case, Justin Timberlake, and everything in between, we probably are the podcast for you.
Definitely.
I couldn't agree with you.
Definitely the podcast for you.
Or if you just like listening to three funny people yammer on about music, we're probably also the podcast for you.
After a few too many drinks occasionally.
Periodically. It is after all the inspiration for the podcast, so we would be loath not to include it.
So welcome. Pull up a bucket.
Sit back, relax, stick your straw in the bucket. And listen.
Bring your headphones.
Sounds vaguely dirty, too.
put your needle on the record and put a straw in the bucket.
So shall we tell the story of how this whole shindig came together?
Yes, I would like to hear that.
One of the things we want to tell a little bit of a story about is obviously we all went to college at the University of Missouri in Columbia. Go Tigers.
Woot!
And we spent a lot of time together. Actually, Beth and I were both in the English department, and Kim was in the journalism department in the College of Arts and Sciences. But since we all wrote, we all ended up congregating together. And after college, we all went our separate ways. But through the miracle of Facebook, and the miracle of Facebook brought us back together, and after we found each other on Facebook, we ended up discovering that we all really enjoyed a couple of podcasts that are out there, done by more professional folks than us, only him only.
What?
Well, they're professional podcasters, and we're still a bit rough around there.
Amateur.
Amateur, there you go. I like that better. Amateur. We're a bit more amateur. The podcasts here in question are, of course, NPR's All Songs Considered, hosted by Bob Boylan and produced by Robin Hilton.
Oh, my God. You are such a nerd. That is awesome. Nate checking the producer.
And featuring the occasional commentary by former Sleeper Kinney member Kerry Brownstein.
Of course.
AKA one of my biggest girl crushes ever to live.
Amen.
And now I'm jealous. Great.
Next to Beth, of course.
Actually, Beth, I don't know if you listen to Sound Opinions or not.
I have not had a chance to. I've heard very good things.
Yeah, it was actually a podcast that Kim turned me on to from Chicago Public Radio and Gosh, Kim, you're going to have to help me out with the host names on that one.
Oh, the host names?
Yes.
Greg Kott and Jim DeRogatis.
There you go.
They were basically the Siskel and Ebert of music. One of them was the music critic at the Chicago Sun-Times and the other at the Chicago Tribune.
But through our love of the podcast, it was one of those light bulb moments. We can do this too. So Kim and I connected first on Facebook, and then we discovered we both really love the All Songs Considered podcast. So through a stroke of fate, Beth and Kim connected, and they headed out for an old college friend's wedding. And during their road tripping and partying under the guise of wedding nuptials, Kim shared the idea of starting a podcast, and Beth was all in at that point. So here we are.
So here I am, totally third wheel. Woot!
You're not the third wheel.
Oh, man.
Not at all.
That sounds so big chill. And the wedding of their college roommate. Beth and Kim reconnected and found out they had more in common than they were unalike.
We'll have to option the movie rights once big.
I also have to give a special shout out to my men, Sasha and Zeke, at the Double Meat podcast. They've kind of been giving me little tutorials in podcasting, the nuts, the bolts, the do's, the don'ts. And in the process of all that, that was a large part of my inspiration to move forward with this now at a more rapid pace. And if they can do it, we can do it. We might not do it quite as well, or we might do it better. We'll see.
We'll find out. Yes, big shout out to Sasha and Zeke over there. Very informative, very helpful, and we appreciate it. We might even have them on, which brings me to another topic. I think we plan on having some guests on. Not really sure who. A lot of surprise guests. A lot of guests from left field. You just don't know. So you'll have to tune in to find out.
Part of the mystery. It might be you.
That's right. We might be calling you.
I have to say our logo's already better than theirs. Can I say that? I can always edit.
You can say that. Our logo is so good.
Our logo is fantastic.
I'm in love with our logo. I really want our logo as a tattoo.
And you know, you can see our logo if you follow our Facebook page. It's up.
So look us up, Noise Bucket. Is it Noise Bucket Podcast?
Noise Bucket Podcast, indeed.
So look us up on Facebook, Noise Bucket Podcast, and like us on Facebook.
That's right.
Yeah. Right now we only have 6 fans, and all 6 of those people have seen at least one of us drunk at some point.
Yay. That's right.
Hence why they're fans.
So my shout out is to Hayes at bluebison.net, who is our illustrator, who is awesome and will draw you amusing animals for a tidy sum. And it's worth every penny.
Absolutely. He did a fantastic job on our logo. And I hope at some point we'll have links to all our contributors' sites and or Twitters and or Facebooks. We're on Twitter as well. Noise Bucket. All one word. No spaces. All lowercase. So you can follow us there. We'll post interesting things that we come across. And we will probably notify you once podcasts are available there. So check it out. Keep us on your feed, on your iPhone, on your website, on your tin can with a string on it, whichever you can find.
Lock it in and rip the knob off. Remember that? I miss those days of radio.
And now it's probably time for all three of us to tell you who we are and why you should even be listening to us. So let's start with you, Beth.
Okay. Hi. I'm Beth. I'm from Missouri.
You're talking like a valley girl, and I'm the one who lives in Los Angeles. Hello.
Sorry. No, I have a family. I'm a little family person here in Missouri.
She's our token MILF of the podcast. Every podcast needs one, or so I've been told.
Exactly. I'm so like flattered by that, which is kind of sick, but I like it anyway.
We'll have the business card made up.
Anyway, okay. Is this part where we talk about, like, our favorite records and stuff?
we decided that a good way to introduce ourselves would be to talk about the three records that... Okay, first of all, we're going to pretend that none of us have iPhones because really we're all like still using Nokia brick phones. Right, guys? Right? Right.
What?
No one spent the night on her yoga mat outside an AT&T store earlier in this week to get an iPhone 4. We're going to pretend that that never happened.
Okay.
We're going to pretend that that never occurred and that we all still have records or 8-tracks or cassette singles or something in our houses right now, and our house is set on fire, and we had to grab 3 albums and run out of our house. So that's going to be part of our introduction. So Beth is going to tell us what her 3 albums would be if she had to just grab her 2 beautiful children, her iPhone, and 3 albums and run out of the house.
I would pick, number one is a Pavement record called Watery Domestic, and this is, I have to say, quite bold because it's only an EP, so it only has 4 songs on it. And technically, I could grab the Crooked Rain, like, reissue, which has it as part of the record, but that would be cheating. So I actually do have Watery Domestic on 10-inch, and it's, like, the most perfect record. Like, every song makes me happy, so... My second record, see, we talked about this earlier in the day, and I've totally changed my choices, so you guys are going to be so surprised. Anyway, number 2 is Dr. Dre, The Chronic.
Really?
Strong move.
Yes. Very
intriguing. I respect that.
Because, like, it's sexy, and it's funny, and it's just awesome in every single way. And you guys did not know that I was a closet Dr. Dre fan. Totally love that record. My 3rd Desert Island record is Stars in Our Bedroom After the War, which some people might maybe could have guessed, but like I'm a huge Stars fan, and that's it. So there you go. Mark, what are your favorite records you would have to grab if you were on Oceanic Flight 815 going down on the island?
That's an excellent question, and I actually am not going to stray too much from what how I responded earlier today. First of all, it would be the first album would probably be John Coltrane's Giant Steps.
I would not have expected that from you, but I like it.
Yeah, in college I picked up a really interesting jazz habit, and so that's that album.
Was not heroin. Hooray!
Yeah, it wasn't heroin. Number 2 would be Led Zeppelin 2. And that, for some reason, as a young kid in high school, Led Zeppelin was kind of my gateway to broader musical horizons, both jazz, classical, and then later indie rock and hip-hop, for that matter. So that is kind of my gateway album, and I really can't imagine being anywhere for too long not hearing that album. It's kind of a touchstone for me. And then number 3 would be Jeff Buckley's Grace, because I am a quite a competent curator of sad bastard music. I have a large collection of it. I do enjoy it. And that is pretty much, I think that's the quintessential sad bastard album for me. In fact, oftentimes I know a relationship is not going well when I start listening to that album a lot.
Oh, no.
So, Mark, now that you've told us this, since Beth has told us a little about herself, you should do a little intro as well.
A little intro?
Yeah, introduce yourself, Mark.
Oh, that's right.
Why do our listeners care what the fuck you believe?
Our listeners should care because I represent the American ideal. Oh, wait. Going into campaigning mode all of a sudden.
You represent the sad bastards of America.
That's right. That is my platform. I am sad bastard personified. I grew up in St. Louis and went to school with my co-hosts here at the university. And
Missouri. Alma mater of John Hamm, star of Mad Men.
That's right.
And he is our hottest alumni.
Brad Pitt, hello.
I give John Hamm the edge over Brad Pitt any day of the week, and I will take you down in a death match over that. I will take you down.
Wow.
For the record, Brad Pitt did not officially graduate, so he's technically not.
That's true, too.
He's still an alumnus.
And Johnny.
Alumni?
He's an alumnus.
An alumnus.
See, my hottest alumni would be Sheryl Crow. Mmm.
Yeah, she needs a sandwich or two.
She does, that's true.
And a Twinkie.
And a Twinkie, maybe a cheeseburger.
So, Kim, tell us more about yourself.
I'm Kim, a.k.a. We came up with names for ourselves earlier, didn't we, Beth? I don't remember what they were. Okay, you get to edit that part out.
Oh, wait, no. Oh, it was K-Con, wasn't it?
Yeah, M-Con and B-Con. It was.
Because we were going to rename our podcast Breath Mints Up in This Club. Inexplicably, I can't even remember why anymore.
Well, that is a perfect segue into my introduction to myself. I'm Kim. I also went to college with these fools back in the 90s. And during that period, I would say that my music taste was really molded and shaped as Beth and I both worked at the college radio station, KCOU 88.1 FM. So if you're ever driving on I-70 through Columbia, Missouri, tune in for the 5 minutes that you'll be able to get reception.
And go, what the hell is this? Why is this college sports talk radio? Sorry.
Yeah. Okay. Maybe don't tune in. I don't know. Anyway, I now live in Los Angeles, where, ironically enough, I am back in college getting a master's degree at one of those big colleges in Los Angeles that has a crosstown rival. You can guess which one. I spend a lot of time sitting in my car in traffic, going to school and other such obligations. And someone recently asked me, what do you do in Los Angeles while you're sitting in your car all day? And I'm kind of an NPR junkie, as Mark previously mentioned. This podcast came to life partly out of our love for the NPR music series. But I've learned that while you're sitting in your car for hours on end in horrific traffic that only happens in LA, you don't listen to NPR. As great as NPR is here, you listen to hip hop. And you sing and you dance in your car because it's really the only thing that gets you through. So my indie rock cred has kind of gotten questionable in the last 9-10 months because now I know all the words to
Justin Timberlake.
And because I hang out with a lot of people about 10 years younger than me, I actually am occasionally up in the club. And because I listen to bad radio,
in this club.
And because I actually, there was a day I was on the phone. I used to live in the Bay Area, and there was a day I was on the phone with one of my Bay Area friends, and I'm telling her this story, and I'm talking to her, and I'm like, yeah, we were all up in the club and shit, and she saw her ex-boyfriend and just started freaking out and shit, and then I realized, shit, I've lived in L.A. too long. But I digress. So anyway, I'm making a feeble attempt at still maintaining my coolness while listening to bad club music, which leads you to my three albums I would grab along with my cat and my iPhone if I had to run out of the house on fire. Those three albums are The Arcade Fire's Funeral, just because it's solid. I don't even know what else to say about it. It's just good stuff.
It's a beautiful album. I agree.
Thank you, Mark. I would also choose Wilco's Yankee Hotel Foxtrot. I really love Wilco, and I had a hard time picking an album. I wouldn't say that there's particular Wilco songs that stand out for me on this album, but the whole thing together as a package is just mind-blowing to me. It's just an amazing album, and they have not made an album that good since then. one might argue that some of their earlier albums were better, but just as a cohesive work of art, I still think it's beautiful.
Summer Teeth
was pretty good. Actually, as I've grown older, I never really liked Summer Teeth when it came out. But as I've grown older, I've learned to appreciate Summer Teeth, and I find it a very good album.
It's a great album.
You guys are crack smokers. And also, Kim and Mark are crack smokers, just so you know.
We do not smoke the crack.
You know, and this brings up an interesting point, too, because one of the... Kim and I used to work at a literary magazine, a student-run literary magazine at the university where we were in the 90s. And we spent a lot of time going to Wilco shows when they were in town. So we have
that. What are we talking about? Which magazine?
Stir.
Oh.
Stir.
I worked at the Missouri Review, which was a literary magazine. I don't know where you guys worked.
Okay, Stir wasn't so much literary as it was something. Anyway, my third album.
I enjoyed this, and this is kind of my iffy one.
I mean, I have a lot of third albums, but if I had to grab something, and this is kind of cheating because there's 69 songs on it, I would choose the Magnetic Fields 69 Love Songs box set, and I'm going to count that as one album. Really, Volume 1 is the best by far, but they're short, they're about love. I'm not really that impressed with the later works of the Magnetic Fields, but Stephen Merritt was a genius in his day, and I will stand by that assertion. And I would be perfectly happy just having those 69 short songs about love to listen to for the rest of my days.
Interesting choice.
Cheater?
Did you just call me a cheater?
I did, indeed. I chose an EP, okay?
You chose an EP. Okay, I had to make up the fact that you chose an EP by choosing a triple album. So there. And I saw the 69 love songs performed in order.
All of them?
Yeah, over 2 nights.
Wow.
They had to divide them in half.
Go next to talk about some of our recent favorites.
Yes.
Is it time, Ken?
It's time.
Awesome.
But I really want to talk about the Taylor Swift sex tape.
We'll get to the Taylor Swift sex tape, don't worry.
All right.
Hold that thought.
Calm down. I need y'all to calm down. So when we were coming up with our ideas of our three albums we would grab if the house was burning, we also thought we should come up with like three albums that maybe aren't our tried and trues, but rather the things we're listening to right now that really have a deep impact on us. So I guess I'll start, although I haven't thought of three, so this is going to be kind of impromptu. I really only thought of one because it's the album I keep coming back to over and over and over again right now. And that is the self-titled release from the XX. Now, on the count of three, kids, let's all go, ooh. 1, 2, 3.
Ooh.
Ooh.
I love XX.
I do as well. It's an album that Kim turned me on to. And at first I was a little resistant to it. But now that I've had a chance to listen to it through a few times, I really am enjoying it.
The reason I love it is because it really makes me want to be like 19 and making out with a boy and feeling kind of confused and conflicted and in love all at once. And it just encapsulates that so incredibly well. And I love it.
Yeah, that didn't do anything for me.
It's the best record of the past year. Excellent. Excellent choice.
So good.
Sonically, I think it's very, very different. I really enjoyed the fact that it had a very sparse arrangement, but just an incredibly well-crafted album, and it continues to grow on me. So,
I have heard that they're not nearly as good on good live because it's so they're so sparse, so incredibly sparse.
Which is a shame. But yeah, just an incredibly, just a wonderful, one of those classic albums that will, I think will stand up as a just a true moment of the aught-tens or aught-tens or whatever we're calling this decade.
The aughts.
The aughts.
Plus 10.
Do you have a favorite track, Kim?
Oh, good question. Good question. It's probably a cross between VCR and Shelter.
You got to pick one.
Shelter.
Shelter.
All right.
Excellent, excellent.
And just because I love the line, can you make it better with the lights turned on? Because even though these are like, I mean, they're really young, aren't they?
They are. They are
super young.
Graduates of a prestigious art school in Great Britain.
And I love that line, can you make it better with the lights turned on? Because it's the opposite of what you think. When you're having an argument with someone in an intimate moment, normally you shut the lights off because you want to forget about it. But this is like, no, we're turning the lights on. We're going to make it better with the lights turned on. And I think that that's such a mature, grown-up sentiment for an album made by really, really young people.
Yeah.
Okay, number two. Numero dos.
Let's have Mark give his first one.
Okay.
Do you want to skip to me?
Let's skip to you. We'll round robin this.
Okay. And the last, and I guess it might be a trend in music right now, especially indie music, but there seems to be a resurgence in shoegaze and different types of shoegaze music. And I'm not sure whether this really qualifies, but it definitely has an element of that head bobbing, looking at your shoes, kind of losing yourself in the drone and the beat. But the Beach House album was one that struck me, and I listened to all the time in coffee shops back when La La was still in existence, and I miss La La a lot. The website where you could stream music over the internet and purchase.
Teen Dream?
Teen Dream, that would be the one. Just a very similar in a lot of respects to the XX album, or the Double X. What are they called? The Double X?
The XX.
They're the XX.
Very similar in feel. There's a certain sparseness there, but instead of relying on some electronic stuff, they do a lot more acoustically. But again, it's a very subtle album. Lyrically, it's not very dense, but it fits the mood of the album. Very easy to get lost in. I spent many hours in a coffee shop on my laptop hacking away at blog posts for my personal blog with that as a soundtrack. So yeah, it was just a genius piece of work and really a big departure from what I understand from their previous work. So I really enjoyed that.
What's your favorite record on that on that album?
Favorite song?
You know, it had to be the opening track.
Is it Zebra?
Yeah, Zebra.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I know that one gets a lot of play, but I think it's a brilliant little introduction to the whole. It's one of those great first tracks. Kind of introduces the whole idea of the album to you as a listener and really sucks you in. I also liked Silver Souls was also a good one, too. Came out with a very bright note instead of more of the downbeat tones. Just a wonderfully set up album. Just really enjoyed it. That would be probably the first one that I could think of. My first top. What am I listening to now that I really enjoy albums?
Okay, let's take it to you, Miss Milf.
My favorite record right now is by a band called Sleigh Bells, and the album is called Treats. And the only way I can explain it is that it's produced by MIA, and it's so unbelievably good. Like, the record is just great from beginning to end. And I can't decide. One of my favorite songs is called Crown on the Ground, which is an excellent, like, if you don't get into the song, like, I don't know who you are. And Infinity Guitars is also an amazing song. So I'm really looking forward to sharing a little bit of that with you guys. And I mean, I don't know. It's just, it's kind of guilty pleasure slash just awesomeness. So, hooray. Sleigh bells. All right. Yeah. Guys, number two. Mark has something to say about sleigh bells.
I just did. Yeah, I didn't. I really didn't know much about them until you mentioned that on your Facebook page, and I saw a little bit of the buzz on Pitchfork, and I was like, I picked up. I just listened to a couple samples, and I didn't really get into it. But having Lala there for a little bit, I really did enjoy it. Sonically, it's very out there. And when you said MIA produced it, it makes a lot of sense.
Or it's her label, I should say. I don't know if she actually produced it. I'm sorry, that's probably completely incorrect, but it's on her label. And workout-wise, I haven't found anything better. It's like the soundtrack of every workout this summer.
Yeah, I can see how that would be. That's really cool, yeah.
And I love that, you know, the lead singer is obviously a female, and, you know, I'm always into... You know, just total kick-ass music that has female lead vocals.
Reminded me a little bit of the Go Team.
That's what my husband said. And I was like, I was never into the Go Team, but he was totally into the Go Team. And he said this reminded him of that. And I was like, all right, whatever.
There's kind of, and I don't know if you hear this as well, but there's a little bit of a pep rally vibe going through it. Especially with the tone of voice. I know it's strange, but, I mean, that's the Go Team. It's just a giant pep rally with the occasional Japanese action flick soundtrack running through it.
I guess this is a little more guitar-heavy for me, which is what I get into, is, like,
right.
The total, like, rocking guitar, like, backbeats of it. And then, like, to have a female lead vocal ahead of that is what I'm all about.
Word. Okay, so we're ready for number two?
We're ready for my number two. My number two is Yaysayers' Odd Blood.
So good.
So good. I hate living in Los Angeles, and that's going to be an ongoing theme, I'm sure, throughout the next 11 months that I am required to live here. But what I do love about living in Los Angeles is waking up in the mornings when I don't have anywhere to be at 9 a.m. and listening to Morning Becomes Eclectic on KCRW. And I'm not a morning person at all. It takes me forever to wake up. So I lie in bed and I listen to Jason Bentley's show. And one morning he played Ambling Alp, and it just caught me, and I just sat straight up in bed, and I was half awake and probably completely sleep deprived and hungover, and I'm like, what is this? It's incredible.
Sorry, I love that song.
Musical interlude.
Don't mind what anybody, and I was just like, wow, what the fuck is this? And I had to look it up, and it was Yaysayer, and I found it for $5 on Amazon, and I've been hooked ever since. I love that song, but the song that I probably like even more is O-N-E.
I have, like, a record store day, like, 12-inch of that, like, all the different remixes. It's awesome.
Ooh.
Be jealous of me.
So jealous. I don't know. That has just been my spring out of bed every spring morning song, album. Yeah, it's good stuff.
Awesome.
I don't even know what else to say.
Okay, Mark. It's awesome. Number two.
Number two, I think it would have to be Erykah Badu's latest.
Really?
Yeah, the new thing. Yeah, I know, I'm all over the place. But yeah, it reminds me a little bit of the Arcade Fire album, Neon Bible, that you come to it, you know it's good, at least for me, this is my personal take on the Neon Bible album. It's a great album, and every time I listen to it, I hear something new. Or there's a subtlety that I missed before. And I think Erykah Badu adds that same type of subtlety. It's on the surface, it's very straightforward. It's R&B with a bit of a 70s lilt to it. but it's so subtle. And the lyrically, she's funny, and she's a bit of a tech nerd, so that always helps me get into somebody. She has a great line in a window seat of somebody tell Scotty to beat me up.
You sent me that song, and that song is awesome.
Yeah, it's just
like, I just like sit around and just groove to that song. That song is just groove-alicious. That is just booty, not booty shaking, more like booty grinding.
It's
tasty.
Yeah, it's an amazingly addictive track, and the rest of the album has that feel to it as well. It's not quite as refined as Window Seat, but it's so much fun, and you can tell she really loves to sing. There's a certain she adores her craft. Lyrically, it's kind of, it hits and it misses in places. But just a lot of fun to listen to. And again, it'll sneak up on me and show me something new that I didn't hear before just by listening through it again and again. Just a really great album. And I always thought her mid-90s album, Mama's Gun, was probably her high point. But I think this one takes the prize.
All right.
Awesome.
Beth, give it to us.
All right. So my second song or record that I'm really into right now is by a band called Broken Social Scene, and the record is called Forgiveness Rock Record, and it's fantastic, and it dovetails so excellently into another band that I'm really into, so I'm totally cheating right now, making up for my EP earlier.
I did that already with my triple album.
I know, but anyway, my husband and I went to see this band called Freelance Whales, which if you have not downloaded their record, you really must right now.
I have not downloaded their record, but I love their name. Every time I hear anything about the Freelance Whales, I'm like, ooh.
The record is so good, and they were even better live. They were so good, and they covered the song, my favorite Broken Social Scene from their recent record, song, which I'm trying to find right now. And I think it's called Shoreline, but I don't think
Shoreline 7-4.
Yeah, but for some reason I can't find it on my iTunes. That's so weird. Anyway, but I will find it and I will put it in this podcast so you can hear right now. Silence.
Oh, 7-4 Shoreline.
Yes. Anyway, yeah, it's excellent. And there it is, duh. Anyway, so they covered it and it was fantastic, but I still, Broken Social Scene, I was completely bummed that the one night at Pitchfork we decided we were not going to go to was Friday night, and they are playing Friday night at Pitchfork, but they are coming to St. Louis at the end of August for a festival here, and so I will have my chance to see them, and I'm very excited, so yay. All right, Kim, you're next.
Okay.
Your last recent thing that you are into. Very briefly.
Okay. I have to just, since I said I've been listening to a lot of hip hop and dance music in the car lately, my third, I had to just pick an album that encompassed what my 9 months of listening to dance music in the car was all about. And I'm picking Jay-Z's album, The Blueprint 3. Not because it's the best Jay-Z album, and not even because Jay-Z is the best ever, but because it's got Empire State of Mind, Young Forever, Run This Town. I mean, they're all songs that, love them or hate them, you know the words. You can just kind of jam along in your car. Alicia Keys is great on Empire State of Mind. Rihanna's great on Run This Town. It totally ruins my indie cred, and I don't care. It's good shit.
It is. I don't think that's Jay's best album, but there.
No, and I wasn't trying to say it was. I mean, I don't think it is either. But it's kind of like just something that encompasses where I'm at right now.
Yeah.
For what my friend Gina calls our Scooze music, because it's the music we listen to while driving to Scooze.
Scooze.
We need to have an entire episode about Jay-Z because I don't get it. But anyway, whatever.
We'll do that.
Mark, go.
My turn?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
That's what she said. Sorry.
Ooh, that was so 2007.
Oh, yeah. Let's see. So about 3 or 4 months ago, NPR Music had one of their Tiny Desk concerts where Bob Boylan invites bands to strip down to their most basic kit and sit at his desk in his office at NPR East and perform a couple of their songs. One of the most notable ones was The Swell Season, where they just couldn't get them to stop. They kept playing. But the one I saw that just absolutely blew me away was a four-song set from a band called Y-Oak. And it's a duo with an occasional bass accompaniment. And it was just the lead singer, female guitarist, and the drummer, who also did some side percussion and some keyboard work all at the same time. They were just doing a little bit of everything on stage between the two of them, making this huge ruckus sound. And the song that really gets me every time is My Creator. And I sent this song along to Kim one day, and I just can't get it out of my head.
And when he sent it to me, I was initially very meh on the whole thing. But it just kept coming up in my iTunes because I downloaded it around the same time as a bunch of other stuff I was listening to. And it grew on me. And it really was just addictive and delightful.
Right.
Just delightful.
And just an amazing pair of musicians doing amazing things with very limited resources. Just a lot of fun to hear. Apparently live, they are the loudest band out there. Just a fantastic experience, I think. And I bought their album as soon as I saw that.
Ice cream?
Has grown on me since.
Oops, getting muted that, sorry.
That's why you're going to be editing this bitch, baby.
That's right.
Sorry, Mark.
In the middle of Mark's beautifully rehearsed.
Yeah, I can't get into Wyoke. I'm sorry.
Beth is like, can I have my ice cream, Tim? I want my ice cream.
You just brought me a tequila shot.
Nice.
You need ice cream after that. I'm sorry. All right.
All right. I think for the interest of time, that we should just go directly maybe to our guilty pleasures of the week and wrap it up, because by the time we put in our little song clips, that'll probably be plenty of space time.
Okay.
Works.
We're in agreement?
I believe so.
Yes, mistress.
Yes, mistress.
Since I am apparently the rule enforcer bad guy of the podcast.
Yes. That's
something. Okay. So we decided in the process of planning this podcast that every week we will, or every episode, which probably won't happen weekly, but in every episode we're going to have our guilty pleasures of the episode. So, Beth, let's start with you. What has been your guilty pleasure lately, musically?
My guilty pleasure right now is a band called The Bird and the Bee. And they just put out a record this year called Interpreting the Masters, which is the greatest hits of Hall & Oates. And as a child of the 80s, it is the best thing ever. And my my kids love it. They want like Rich Girl on their iPod. It's it's the best thing ever. Like I can't even get over, like, their first, The Bird and the Bee, like, I know they've been kind of an indie rock, like, ooh, yay, awesome band, but I haven't been able to get into them. And this record, like, I am so into. It's just a complete guilty pleasure, and I love it.
A little
bit. I love that you love it, because I downloaded it on your recommendation, and I love it, too.
Yes.
Love it.
Nice.
All right, Mark, guilty pleasure.
Well, I blame you for this one, Kim.
I can be blamed for many people's guilty pleasures
he
everywhere.
He wants to make love in this club.
In this club. In this club.
My current guilty pleasure is, it's an ongoing guilty pleasure. It is, I'm almost afraid to say this out loud.
Don't be afraid, Mark.
It is Timberland. With
featuring Justin Timberlake,
a Carry Out.
Oh my God! I get to pick out which clip to play from Carry Out.
It's a whole lot of you and a side of me, which could be a working title for this podcast.
Do you like it well done? Because I do it well.
I think Mark's favorite line is "You keep me open all night like an IHOP."
Yeah, that is my favorite.
I keep you open all night like an IHOP. That's awesome.
It is a terrible, terrible song, and I just love
it. It's the best song ever.
It is, and I'd never heard it before Kim started talking about it one day, and I'm like, what song is that? She's like, you don't know what song that is? And I said,
I think I tweeted about it, and then Beth responded, and then it all went downhill rapidly.
That's when it
began. Rapidly.
And so,
but it's also a great video, and one of these days when we have our website up, we'll definitely post a link to that video, because anytime you put Justin Timberlake and some fast food references in a song.
Double entendres,
triple entendres. I mean, it's just an entendre-rific.
All I can say is that Justin Timberlake and I are destined to be BFFs. Forever!
And that's because she's the married woman. I am the non-married woman here. We're destined to be much, much more than BFFs. He just doesn't.
As long as you're okay with him and I being BFFs, I'm totally cool with you, like...
Oh, yeah! Okay. Yeah. Yeah, of course.
I love how they're staking their claim to the term. That's awesome. Yeah, so that's a guilty pleasure. I can't get out of my head. Every once in a while, I just have to pull up that video and watch the video, because like Kim said, it's really just a fun class. It's what video should have been through the 90s. Just
goofy. It's a whole lot of you and a side of me.
Exactly. It's a number three.
That's two number threes. My guilty pleasure of the summer so far, and the summer is not even a third over, the last summer of my life as a student, I've been watching So You Think You Can Dance, which is a great TV show. Everyone should watch it. It's just good summer TV. And last night, my favorite dancer on the show, Kent, did a solo dance to a remix of Jay Sean's song Down. And at one point, my roommate turns and looks at me and says, that song's going to be the slow dance at your wedding, isn't it? And I got all embarrassed and climbed under the coffee table. And then I came out and I was like, yes, it is going to be. It is.
Will you marry Justin Timberlake?
Would I marry Justin Timberlake? Oh, my God. Yes. But the show itself has just a great mix of music. Everything, last night alone, had everything from James Brown to Florence and the Machine.
Oh, wow.
Seriously, Justin, she's freaky. You totally want to be down with this.
You want to be down, Justin. You just don't know it yet. But, it's good dancing, it's good music thrown in, it's just good quality entertainment.
Which
and,
Florence and the Machine song did they do?
They did Cosmic Love.
Cosmic Love.
And it was a contemporary dance, and it was pretty damn phenomenal. It was fantastic. I will find it on the YouTubes and send it to you. All right, so you've been listening to the Noise Bucket Podcast with Kim and Beth and Mark. In future episodes, you can expect more witty banter, more declarations of love for Justin Timberlake, and hopefully some guests that we will interview about music as well.
It's sexual tension. So think you could come with a knife.
So much sexual.
Fuck.
We hope to record monthly if all goes as planned. Meantime, subscribe to our RSS feed, follow us on Twitter, send us emails at noisebucket69@gmail.com.
Sorry.
You can video chat Beth on her iPhone 4.
That's right.
FaceTime, baby.
She'll sing any song from the Broken Social Scene album you want.
That's right.
For free.
Beth will sing it on FaceTime. Thank you for listening. We will see you
soon.
We'll see you next time.
Ciao.
You have questions or comments, you can now email us at noisebucket69@gmail.com.
Because that's how we roll.
Our theme music is called Pink Saturday, a work in progress by George Kelly. George Kelly can post stuff at Saints and Kings and can be followed on Twitter at All About George.